Welcome to The Investment Conversation, Lord Abbott's ongoing podcast series.
This is Will Andrews, digital content editor for LordAbbott.com. Joining me today is Lord Abbott investment strategist Joseph Graham. Joe, you and your team have produced a series of white papers on short duration credit, covering some of its key aspects, its longer-term performance, historical role as a hedge against interest rate risk, and its application for strategic cash management. This is all intriguing stuff. But first, let's define the terms here. What do you mean when you talk about short-duration credit or short duration?
Sure, Will. So usually what's used is the 1 to 3 year corporate index, either Merrill Lynch or Barclays. That's the traditional bench. Really a better bench, and we'll discuss the reasons why, is probably the universal under 3 years. And that's because just it is that. It's universal. It encompasses a lot of different asset classes. For us, we're generally interested in the credit-sensitive portion that has a bit of ambiguity in pricing, of course, and creates that active opportunity. That bench, the universal, includes IG and high-yield corporates. That's kind of the most common thing that people think of, but also ABS, which for us is pretty broad. We use securitized portfolios backed by credit cards, by autos, by leveraged loans, which are called CLOs, some equipment financing, student loans, other consumer loans. And then CMBS is another big category.
Mm-hmm. And that's commercial mortgage-backed securities, right?
Right, commercial mortgage-backed securities. And there's really two big sectors of that market, the single asset, single borrower market, mm-hmm. and what you would call the conduit market, which is made up of different kinds of securities or different kinds of mortgage-backed securities all in one deal. So those are the major areas. Along with some mortgages, the mortgages tend to be longer dated. And so we're talking about short mm-hmm. duration here. So yeah. That isn't as important.
Right. So just going through now the first paper in your series kind of gave us an overview of short credit. We've seen some volatility in fixed income over the past few decades. And in that respect, short credit has a track record that might surprise some people. Can you walk us through the performance of short credit and maybe give us some reasons why it's performed the way that it has over the past few decades?
I think this is a really interesting part of the short duration space. You see a few studies that are published on this every couple of years, but it's really not that commonly known that if you look at portfolios of bonds that are grouped by term risk, so from the most term risk down to the least term risk, if you were to look at a chart of that, you would see if you plot by Sharpe ratio that as you reduce term risk, those bonds have higher and higher Sharpe ratios.
Sharpe ratios, just for some of the listeners, is risk-adjusted return?
Exactly, yeah. Right. So as you walk down in risk, you're getting higher risk-adjusted returns, which on the very surface may not seem that surprising since you're taking less risk, but it is actually kind of surprising because what modern portfolio theory tells you is that if something has more return per unit of risk, some money should flow into that space, essentially. So what you should see happen is that money should flow into short-term bonds, maybe on a levered basis, I don't know, in order to correct that arbitrage between short-term bonds and long-term bonds. But you haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of reasons why we believe you haven't seen it. Probably prominent among those reasons is the amount of restrictions that occur in the short-term space, that just investor policy statements are written in such a way that often they can't dip down in credit quality or they can't utilize certain instruments. So that's a big thing. What we also think is happening is very similar to the low beta phenomenon in equities. And people, don't often relate those two things, but I think they are related because if you look at the body of literature around low beta and equities, what you find is that there's a lot of explanations that have to do with what we call lottery stocks. This idea that investors over prefer things with binary outcomes or very volatile mm-hmm. outcomes.
Like people are always looking for those unicorns in the stock market.
That's basically. Right. And it's actually somewhat rational because they're investing their time and effort researching an idea, a theme, what have you. They need to get paid for that time. So they want to find something that's directly related to what they just researched, not something that's sort of related to what they just researched. So they tend to go for high volatility things, but they do so in a way that's non-economic because they over prefer them. And so the volatility of those is high and the returns are actually pretty low relative to their low beta counterpoints. Mm-hmm. Now, what isn't often talked about is that exact same thing happens in credit. So as people do credit research, it's the same concept, research on a theme, an idea. They want something with a lot of spread duration. Mm-hmm. That's a function of time. Mm-hmm. So they often go after things with lots of spread duration that are usually longer term instruments.
So they're kind of looking for home runs versus singles or doubles, basically.
Right. And again, it's rational. It's not very easy to do credit research for something that matures in 9 months. It's just not often done. It's usually a different department of a bank or an asset manager, not usually their credit people. For obvious reasons, it's just very labor intensive. There's a lot of turnover. So we think all those reasons are why the short duration anomaly exists. And just to be clear, what that is that short duration credit outperforms longer duration credit in a risk adjusted way. And I think also importantly, none of those reasons have specifically to do with corporates. Though often you'll see a lot of the research is on corporates. We've done a lot of research that encompasses ABS, CMBS, all these asset classes I mentioned, and you find the same anomaly in those asset classes. And that stands to reason, right? Because mm-hmm. if it's hard to do research on corporates, it's probably pretty hard to do research on asset-backed securities that right. can sometimes be pretty esoteric.
Mm-hmm. So, and you have been, we've been discussing duration here. So, that's the topic of another paper in the series, which is about, you know, when we talk about, you know, portfolio and its sensitivity, interest rate changes, what are some of the characteristics of short credit that make it an effective diversifier, especially when we consider interest rate risk?
Well, the most obvious is obviously duration. Mm-hmm. So if your duration is down, definitionally your exposure to interest rates is less. So that mm-hmm. that's pretty straightforward.
Right.
What's, I think, not straightforward is a couple of other things. One, just how much interest rate exposure is in investor portfolios that they may or may not be aware of. And so what I'm talking about there are core fixed income portfolios, the kind of bedrock of many investor portfolios, are really all about one risk, and that's interest rate risk. If you look at a breakdown of risk, so where does standard deviation come from? Which is something we often talk to investors about, mm-hmm. what you see is that more than all of the risk comes from curve risk. Mm-hmm. So just to use the Barclays Agg as an example, there's roughly in the high 70s basis points of standard deviation per month. Mm-hmm. More than 80 basis points of standard deviation comes from curve risk, so more than all of it. Mm-hmm. The rest of the risks that are in the Barclays Agg, things like volatility or credit spread or mm-hmm. credit default, they're either non-existent or they're actually diversifying risk. So that's the first major point, is that if you have core fixed income in your portfolio, chances are you have one big risk in your portfolio, and that's interest rate risk.
Right.
The second thing is how credit performs when duration does poorly. Mm-hmm. So I think that's often not appreciated by investors. If you think of a scenario where duration is hurting you, and you don't have to think very far back because that happened this year.
Sure.
Where interest rates are rising, what typically happens during that scenario is that interest rates are rising because the economy is improving, because growth is solid. Credit usually does well in that scenario. So right. there's a nice natural yin and yang to those two things that diversifies. So for all those reasons, I think in a rising interest rate environment, credit, and especially short credit portfolios, can be a very nice and often overlooked diversifier.
Hmm. And when we're actually talking about investors overlooking things, another paper, in the most recent paper, I think in your series, really focuses on opportunities in strategic cash, and the part that short credit, short duration securities could play in something where people are typically totally risk averse. So they may not understand the role that, that, you know, short credit could actually play in a cash management scenario. Can you kind of give us some insights on that?
That's right. And that the key of that paper is that if you look at a credit spread and you break down, what is that? What is that actually paying you for? It's actually different at different lengths and at different qualities. And by lengths, I mean maturities. So if you're looking at investment grade bonds, or whether they be corporates or something else, that are shorter in duration, what you'll find is that credit spread, very, very small portions of it are actually default risk or risk of loss of principal. And the reason for that is something called the term structure of default, that if something is highly rated, so if I rate something highly right now and then look out a year or 2 years, chances are that's not enough time for something to really go wrong. If it's investment grade, you know, it's a rock solid credit. Things don't devolve that quickly. It takes a while. And that's the term structure of default, that if you look 5, 6, 7 years out, yeah, then things can go wrong. Different things can happen to either the company or the security. So what that means is you're getting paid for something else, not defaults. And what those things are typically liquidity and non-diversifiability. So let me explain those a little bit. And taxes, actually, because of the difference in what it's a spread to. But that's less interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's address liquidity and non-diversifiability. Liquidity is just that it's a spread to treasuries. And treasuries are typically more liquid, especially in bad times where treasuries become very liquid and things like corporates become less liquid.
They become a haven, basically, in times.
That's right. Right. And so that's valuable because really it kind of has to do, it's tough to disentangle. It has to do with the second thing, which is non-diversifiability, which is when corporate bonds go bad, that tends to be when everything else in your portfolio goes bad. And so that's a negative feature. You know, it's not a great diversifier in that respect. And so those are the two things you're being paid for with an IG short credit spread. Now, back to your original question, what cash managers, how they can utilize that, or do they care about those two things? Do they care about liquidity? Well, sometimes they don't, because their holding period can approach the weighted average life of the portfolio, meaning they have the ability to hold the term. So liquidity isn't that important for somebody with the ability to hold the term. Secondly, diversifiability. Well, think about what these portfolios are when they're medium-term cash portfolios, or short to medium term, let's call it. And I'm talking about a year or something around there. Are those portfolios composed of, you know, a blend of equities and fixed income and other things? No, they're typically fixed income portfolios. So do you care how much they diversify you from equities, or are they standalone portfolios that are meant to match liabilities? Mm-hmm. More often we find that they're those things. So, so that's kind of an arbitrage for people. It's not a true arbitrage, but it's something where your risk preferences are that you don't care about those two things, and yet you're getting paid for them. So in our opinion, that's something people should do. They should match up their liabilities with their holding periods. And that means that short credit portfolios are appropriate for a lot of investors.
What value can a manager add in this situation?
If you look at things like S&P's data on how managers outperform, it's really interesting. So often that data gets brought up to kind of paint equity managers with a bad brush and say, well, the equity managers that outperform aren't the same equity managers that outperform in other periods. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, though, is if you dig into that data and look at fixed income managers, and I'm specifically talking about short and intermediate term managers, if you look at what they call non-overlapping three-year periods, so a three-year period where there's a top quartile manager, what is their probability of being a top quartile manager in the next three-year period? It is far above randomness. It's something like 40% instead of what you would expect, at 25%. And why is that? And that is because we think those managers have good credit processes. They're able to pick and follow credits. They're able to lean on credit. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that's used as a kind of something that tarnishes the reputation of active managers, to say, well, they lean on credit and credit has done well. And my response to that is, well, that's the point, that you have an active manager that can lean on credit,
right,
that can utilize their expertise there in order to take advantage of the outperformance that credit will give you over time.
And Joe, so just we'll wrap up here shortly. Are there any other points, any other features of short credit, short duration that people might want to know about, or people might not understand? Any insights you can bring there?
You know, one other thing as I'm thinking about it, a point I missed on the idea that interest rates and diversifiability, trying to diversify that interest rate risk. One thing that we talk to investors about a lot is, well, how is interest rate risk priced in your portfolio? Because I think that's something that's kind of it's a more current concern. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at something called term premium right now, which is what are you getting paid to extend to a 3-year bond from a 2-year bond, or to a 4-year bond from a 3-year, what do you get paid to extend, you know, that extra year of risk? And what you find is in the last couple of years, you're paying to do that, which is a very strange scenario.
So you've had a negative term premium.
A negative term premium. And so, you know, there's all kinds of explanations that people come out with, and they're true, you know, that it's the Fed, you know, operating in the middle part of the curve. It's liability-driven investing. Both of those things create very price-insensitive buyers that can create negative risk premiums, create distortions in the market. And actually, that can be rational as well, that people can accept a negative expected return as long as it diversifies the rest of your portfolio. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the trick here, because what we found is that over the last couple of downturns in the market, think about what happened in January of 18, where you had that hot wage inflation number.
Right.
And then the market took, when I say the market, that like the S&P 500 went down somewhere around 12%. Core fixed income didn't help you. It happened again in October. Mm-hmm. Also happened back in the taper tantrum. And all those things are linked, because it's when investors fear inflation, or they fear Fed action, that the Fed is getting more restrictive. Mm. What happens is those things tend to correlate more. Stocks mm-hmm. and bonds tend to correlate more. Mm-hmm. So what that means is you need other risk in your portfolio.
Right.
And short credit can be one of those risks. There are others. Mm-hmm. You know, there's active management in general can be a diversifying risk. But I think that's what's special about today's environment. You know, short credit, what we found is that historically it overpays you. But even tactically today, there's a special need for short credit because interest rate risk and equities are starting to correlate more.
Right. Well, these have been some terrific insights, Joe, and we thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
And listeners can find links to the white papers we've been discussing here at lordabbott.com. Once again, thanks for listening.
That's it for this edition of The Investment Conversation. As always, you can access a full range of investment commentary and analysis at lordabbott.com. Thanks for listening. ABS refers to asset-backed securities. CLOs refers to collateralized loan obligations. CMBS refers to commercial mortgage-backed securities. IG refers to investment grade. Fed refers to the U.S. Federal Reserve. A basis point is a financial unit of measurement that is 1/100 of 1%. Beta is a measure of the volatility or systematic risk of a security or a portfolio in comparison to the entire market or a benchmark. Correlation is a statistical measure that describes the strength of a relationship between two variables. It can vary from 1.00 to -1.00. A credit spread is the difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Duration is a measure of the sensitivity of the price, the value of principal, of a fixed income investment to a change in interest rates. Modern portfolio theory addresses how risk-averse investors can construct portfolios to optimize or maximize expected return based on a given level of market risk. Sharp ratio is a way to examine the performance of an investment by adjusting for its risk. It is the average return earned in excess of the risk-free rate per unit of volatility or total risk. Spread duration is a bond's price sensitivity to changes in a defined measure of yield spread. Standard deviation measures the dispersion of data from the mean.
Applied to a rate of return, standard deviation is an indication of an investment's volatility. Taper tantrum is a term popularly used to describe the 2013 increase in U.S. Treasury yields, which resulted from the U.S. Federal Reserve's use of tapering to gradually reduce the amount of monetary stimulus in the economy. Term premium is a gauge of the level of risk inherent in holding a longer-term bond versus a series of shorter-term securities. The Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Aggregate Bond Index represents securities that are SEC-registered, taxable, and dollar-denominated. The index covers the U.S. investment-grade fixed-rate bond market, with index components for government and corporate securities, mortgage pass-through securities, and asset-backed securities. The Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Corporate 1- to 3-Year Bond Index is a component of the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Corporate Bond Index, which includes all publicly held issued, fixed-rate, non-convertible investment-grade corporate debt. The Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Universal Index represents the union of the following Bloomberg Barclays indices: the U.S. Aggregate Index, the U.S. High Yield Corporate Index, the 144A Index, the Eurodollar Index, the Emerging Markets Index, and the non-ERISA portion of the CMBS index. The ICE B of AML 1- to 3-year U.S. Corporate Index is an unmanaged index comprised of U.S. dollar-denominated investment-grade corporate debt securities publicly issued in the U.S. domestic market, with between 1 and 3-year remaining to final maturity. The S&P 500 Index is widely regarded as the standard for measuring large-cap U.S. stock market performance and includes a representative sample of leading companies in leading industries. Indexes are unmanaged, do not reflect the deduction of fees or expenses, and are not available for direct investment. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. The value of investments in fixed income securities will change as interest rates fluctuate and in response to market movements. Generally, when interest rates rise, the prices of debt securities fall, and when interest rates fall, prices generally rise. The municipal market can be affected by adverse tax, legislative, or political changes, and by the financial condition of the issuers of municipal securities. Investments in foreign or emerging market securities may be adversely affected by economic, political, or regulatory factors and subject to currency volatility and greater liquidity risk. The value of investments in equity securities will fluctuate in response to general economic conditions and to changes in the prospects of particular companies and/or sectors in the economy. No investing strategy can overcome all market volatility or guarantee future results. Market forecasts and projections are based on current market conditions and are subject to change without notice. Projections should not be considered a guarantee. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbott speaker are those of the speaker as of the date of the broadcast and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. Any such views are subject to change at any time based upon market or other conditions, and Lord Abbott disclaims any responsibility to update such views. This material is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice. It is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Neither Lord Abbott nor the Lord Abbott speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered. The information provided is not directed at any investor or category of investors and is provided solely as general information about Lord Abbott's products and services and to otherwise provide general investment education. None of the information provided should be regarded as a suggestion to engage in or refrain from any investment-related course of action, as neither Lord Abbott nor its affiliates are undertaking to provide impartial investment advice, act as an impartial advisor, or give advice in a fiduciary capacity. If you are an individual retirement investor, contact your financial advisor or other fiduciary about whether any given investment idea, strategy, product, or service may be appropriate for your circumstances. This broadcast is the copyright 2019 of Lord Abbott & Company, LLC, all rights reserved. This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor, LLC.